Your reverence, however, may have had good reason for sending him out into the great world with so small a sum. On this assumption, and in order to prevent him from falling into the hands of usurers, I have loaned him 500 florins, of which not a kreutzer has been spent unnecessarily. I now request that this sum be paid him. And since to work on borrowed money increases the interest, I thought that your reverence would allot him an additional 100 florins for the coming year. Your reverence would be showing him the highest favor and at the same time would free him of all anxiety. In the hopes that your reverence will graciously accept this request of mine on behalf of my dear pupil, I am, with deepest respect, your reverence's most humble and obedient servant, Joseph Haydn. Is this not a nice man or what? Going to bat for his student. Well, the elector's reply to Haydn's letter was terse and to the point. And now I quote that letter. The music of young Beethoven, which you sent me, I received with your letter. Since, however, this music, with one exception, was composed and performed here in Bonn before he departed on his journey to Vienna, I cannot regard it as progress made in Vienna. As far as the money which he has received for his expenses in Vienna is concerned, it does indeed amount to only 500 florins. But in addition to this 500 florins, his salary here of 400 florins has been continuously paid to him. He received 900 florins this year. I cannot, therefore, very well see why he is as much in arrears in his finances as you say. I am wondering, therefore, whether he had not better come back here in order to resume his work. For I very much doubt that he has made any important progress in composition and in the development of his musical taste during his present stay. And I fear that, as in the case of his first trip to Vienna in 1787, he will bring back nothing but debts. Unquote. End of story. Well, this letter must have shocked Haydn. He was a straight shooter, Haydn was, and he had never been lied to or played the dupe like this before. Any way you look at it, Beethoven had put Haydn in a terrible position. On one hand, one might suspect, as did the elector by the tone of his letter, that Haydn had conspired with Beethoven to have his stipend increased. The other possibility, on the other hand, is even more embarrassing, that Haydn, as Beethoven's primary teacher, as that person responsible for Beethoven in Vienna, hadn't a clue as to what Beethoven was actually doing with his compositional time. And this latter part, of course, was exactly the case. It should come as no surprise, then, that Beethoven's so-called lessons with Haydn came to a very abrupt end, abrupt like the blade of a guillotine on the back of one's neck. For his part, Beethoven didn't really care. You see, by the date of January 1793, his growing popularity as a pianist meant that he didn't need the scholarship from Bonn, which was quickly cut off in any case. Haydn, for his part, threw up his hands in disgust. Now, eventually, he forgave Beethoven, and Beethoven dedicated his first three published piano sonatas, Opus 2, Numbers 1, 2, and 3, to Haydn, his erstwhile teacher. Disillusioned and lonely, Haydn decided to return to London. Solomon was all too happy to bring Haydn back, so on January 19th, 1794, Haydn again departed Vienna for the friendly confines of London town. Now, my friends, we know much less about Haydn's second journey to London than about his first. The reasons for this are, frankly, rather sad. With Marianne dead, there was no one back in Vienna to whom he cared to write. So while we have Haydn's diaries, which are filled with information, we don't have any letters which would have been filled with feeling, chat, and gossip. Haydn's reception in London was as rapturous as the first time around. As an example of the reception Haydn's music received, I offer this article excerpt written by the London correspondent for the Weimar, that is the German Journal des Luxus und der Moden. And now I quote the journal.